Good morning. The time now is 1 minute to ten.
Recording in progress.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. How are you? Good morning, sir.
I'm okay, thank you, sir.
Very good. May I request that you flag the agenda? Okay. So this is the agenda, colleagues. Four items. But we only have one briefing. Item number three. In terms of quorum, how are we doing?
Chair, we need one more member.
Is it?
Yes.
That must be Mr. Marais we are looking for.
We already have Mr. Marais.
It's in the meeting.
Unlikely, Chair, unlikely. But I'm here.
Yeah. Welcome, thanks.
Thank you, same to you.
Thank you. Colleagues, we'll start nevertheless, because we don't need any decision to make in the beginning. The agenda has already been approved. I know one other colleague will come in at any time. Can we then deal with the first item? Apologies. Sorry, we are all welcome, colleagues. Let me just check if the SecDef is in the meeting. Yes, she is in the meeting. SecDef?
I am here, Jeff.
Yes, good morning. I don't see
good
the...
Good morning.
Thank you so much. I don't see the minister or the deputy minister.
Minister is on sick leave, Chairperson. I think that we have been given the sick note. I'm not so sure about the deputy minister.
Oh, okay. Any information about the DM? Will she be joining the meeting? Will he be joining the meeting?
I don't have any information on him, Chairperson.
Okay, I was just asking if there is anyone who might know. Okay, it doesn't look like
we have not received any information with regards to the deputy minister.
Okay, maybe this. Okay, that's fine. Let's leave it at that for now, and let's deal with the rest of the apologies if there are any.
Yes, Chair. Chair, we do have an apology from the minister. As well as Mr. Shelembe, who are both unable to attend due to ill health. We have an apology from Ms. Ntembu, who is attending the Joint Standing Committee on Finance. We also have an apology from General Olumisa, who is also unable to attend. Those are all the apologies, Chair.
All right. Okay, so I hope there are no objections. No objections? No objection. Then we can then quickly move to the third item, is a briefing on the medium-term plans of the DOD to devolve some functions of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to the DOD's Defense Works Formation. Secretary, how about you?
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. Chair, I am joined in the meeting by the incoming CLOC, General Ndlovu, who will be who will be accompanied by Major General Nyangasia, who is the one who took over from General Lidwaba after his retirement. And then we also have General Kikana that are form part of the team. And then also because of legal issues, we have invited General Nisi from our legal services to also be part of the team should there be issues that will be raised that are probably legal or law related. And then, Chair, just to say that as we have been requested, is to give you a progress report on what it is that we are doing in the medium term in terms of the development of our immovable assets from DPW to DOD. Okay, let me say that at some stage, myself and my counterpart at DPWI, we formed a task team. And the objective of the task team was actually to get the two departments to be represented where we thoroughly look at this issue of development. And I think in the past, we did receive some, updates during the times of General Lidwaba on some of the functions that had been devolved. And let me also then say, Chair, from the department side, we also thought that as defense, when we devolve, remember that most of these companies that are contracted, their contractual obligation is with the DPWI. So when we do this devolvement, what does that mean for us as DOD in relation to these companies that have been contracted by DPW? So we then thought that we should form our own team, which constitutes our people from HR, and we needed them because then we also feel that once we do this devolvement, we must also make sure that we have capacity building that we embark upon as a department. We invited legal precisely for the legal issues that are there, the contracts that are there, what intensive that will be. We also invited our internal audits because we felt that whatever it is that will be devolved from that DPWI to DOD, we must be sure what it is that we are inheriting from DPWI. We don't want also to take a lot of problems and then try to take a lot of probably things that have not yet been settled. So those are part of the things. And of course, our colleagues from finance are also part of that team. And then it is also led at the level of law because our work formation falls under the law environment. So those are the things that we've and Chair, let me also say that from our budget as defense, on a yearly basis, we had set aside 1.2 billion and precisely to do regular ongoing maintenance. And that money is within the account of defense. So if there is any work that the DPW had to do, the money had to come from our side. And with some of these functions having been devolved, it means that they get now less money from our side. But one of the things I can say, Chair, is that what we have noticed is that with what has been devolved so far, is that it has also resulted in savings for us. Because then even there are some of the projects we have run with them on our own, and then even before we ran on our own, we had said to the colleagues from DPW, can you tell us how much it will cost? And I know that on one of the instances, we had been quoted for something specific, 2 million, and we were able to achieve that as defense at the cost of 70,000. So I think that is what is critical. But the Chair, what we don't want to see is that as this development happens, DOD must never find itself in a worse-off situation that we currently are in right now. And therefore, that's why we were then saying, for instance, if you look at some of the companies like DBSA that we had approved by Treasury, where we say that help us build our own capacity so that in future we then have our own very reliable, very well-capacitated team of professionals, but also that will result in a proper facilities management structure within the department, because we also believe that as DOD, we can't rely 100% from outsourcing. Some of the things we need to do, deal with them ourselves, but some of them, Chairperson, we cannot also outsource by virtue of the security that is involved. So it becomes very difficult, because even in certain places, if there is a problem and something is broken, they activate DPWI. And DPWI just takes the companies that they have pre-approved. And some of them we have seen in the past that they are not South Africans that are there. So we don't want to open our critical and sensitive infrastructure to people that come from outside. So I just thought, as a way of introducing the subject, let me deal with that, to say that this is the progress report, and then we should be coming to you and be giving you these updates on an ongoing basis. Thank you, Chair. And if you allow me to, I would probably invite General Ndlovu with the team to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Your pencil, when the summary almost completes the presentation. Over to you, General. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, Secretary of Defense, and members of the Portfolio Committee on Defense. I will soon give it to Ujena Nyangaisa to continue with the presentation as a Sec Def as Lieutenant. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Ujena Nyangaisa?
Thank you, General. Am I audible enough?
No, General. You seems to be far from the mic, so we can't hear you properly.
Can you hear me now?
Slightly better, but not the same as the chief log. Or Sec Def.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, again. I want to thank also the Sec Def for the introduction. That's all we have as the Chairperson is already under there. With me here, I am with Lady General January, Director for the Defense Transformation. I am Major General Nyangasia, the newly appointed GOC of the Defense Works Formation. I am taking over from the retired Major General Lituano. The aim of our presentation is to brief the committee on the medium-term plan to involve the certain Department of Defense Infrastructure Development functions from the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. A bit of a background, I must mention here, and everybody knows that we have already taken over, that is the payment of municipal service portfolio from DPWI, and we have actually effected some efficiency and better control to achieve, that is, the annual reduction of, that is, the municipal services. What we have done as Defense Works Formation, the footprint of the Defense Works Formation is national. We've got all our support units throughout the country that are engaging, that is, the service providers and municipalities with regards to municipal services. We have settled area accounts of to the amount of 350 due to municipalities. That was not paid by DPW prior to April 2020. However, we had a discussion with DPW with regards to this, and DPW agreed that they are going to refund the DOD, but they have reneged from that agreement. We are also saying here that through our engagement with the service providers and the municipality, we are settling all outstanding payments that were outstanding from the period prior to 2020 to date. This outstanding payment was due to readjustment of service providers in the area. In our region, in our regional unit, with what that is a real estate management section that are dealing strictly with municipal services. They are engaging all the service providers, negotiating that is the way for the waiver of interest that are charged on our own outstanding payments that were not paid by DPW. Some of these municipalities are very, very open-minded, and they are agreed to waive the interest as long as we as DOD are willing to pay. And when we show commitment that to pay, they waive the interest for us, and that is the statement that we are making. We must be mindful of the fact that when the municipal services were handled by DPWI, we were charged a management fee of 5%. That management fee, we are no more paying it because we are dealing with the services by ourselves. And for that, from that, we managed to save, I can say, plus minus 50 million from that management fees that we are also about the lease portfolio, the allocation on the lease portfolio and the funding of the portfolio in the current environment that will enable the lease reduction program. Here, for us to be able to address the lease reduction, funding is required, and we are engaging national treasury to fund out that is the shortfall in the lease portfolio. The scope, this is what I'm going to address: migration of functions from DPW to DOD, the devolution of operations and taxes and leases, devolution of maintenance and construction functions, that is the establishment and capital work. And then I put the summary of timeline, and then the staffing of defense works commission structure. Now, there are some we are going for discussion. We are saying we are insourcing debt to the DOD, that is the planned maintenance portfolio. This planned maintenance portfolio, it is composed of the property rates and taxes day-to-day, repairs, emergency repairs, refurbishment repairs, and the current this is the 1.2 billion that we are paying over the budget to DPWI. We are saying here the property rates and taxes and the day-to-day maintenance. This budget, as from April 2023, will remain with DPWI. labor, and transfer it in an incremental manner to the DOD. The lease portfolio we are saying here we put a budget for shortfall of $400 million, which is this is what we are saying that we are going to be in. That's why we are being with National Treasurer to top up this budget of the lease portfolio so that we can address all the leases that we have to take over. And for us to take over the lease portfolio, as well as to engage with the DPW through the savings that we are making from the development of the municipality services, and the efficiency thereof, we are going to address all the unfunded projects of the DOD, specifically those that are life-threatening, refurbish those facilities, move our members from these buildings into the buildings that we have refurbished. And by so doing, we will be able to reduce the lease portfolio. Here we are talking about the devolution of the task of rate, the processes that we are going to follow, that is we are going to do the evaluation of all the contracts, renegotiate and ratify the contracts, transfer the contracts to DOD, and thereafter the portfolio will remain with the DOD. Having remaining with the DOD, we are going to do the monitoring of that portfolio. The devolution of the rates and taxes. The process that we are going to follow in the devolution of the rates and taxes is to consolidate the available data that we are getting from the creditors and properties, engage DPW to confirm the holistic portfolio. After that, we are going to acquire all the rates and taxes accounts, all the leases contracts. We'll evaluate the portfolio, engage the municipalities for the systems, because the systems that they use in the municipalities are different systems. And we are going to make sure that we investigate and check a system and introduce a system within the DOD that will be friendly for use, and that will be able, that whereby we'll be able to whenever we have to pay the service provider, the turnaround time will be shorter. We also looking into establishing a nodal point for DOD leases. We don't want to find ourselves in a situation where the lease portfolio is handled in different departments within the DOD. We are also looking into to split the elements of accommodation charges into different series. In this instance, we are engaging the finance division. They are also actually buying into our recommendation or our suggestion to them in terms of splitting, that is, the rates and taxes and the water and life accounts into different spirits so that we can be able to manage and do the payments properly. Thereafter, what we are going to do, the portfolio itself, we are going to make sure that we manage it properly. When we're talking about this evolution, we are already in a process of setting up teams in different different regions of the diverse wealth formation in the country. That is the real estate management section that is handling this portfolio. And these members have already gone through a training in handling all these accounts. And they are still, it's a continuous training that they are going through. This replacement, we are about to finalize the master plan, the DOT facility master plan, to ensure the lease replacement over the next 5 to 8 years. This DOT master plan includes construction of accommodation for the groups, offices, headquarters, and training centers for our people, that is schools of excellence and all those things. And this we are looking at because of there is land that is available. These facilities will be constructed within the land of the DOD. We are putting emphasis on the refurbishment and plant maintenance to reduce the requirements and additional need accommodation. For an example, we are looking at refurbishing one of our headquarters that is sent down, that went out, the members that have been put into this accommodation. When we are able to get the money that we are going to get, the savings that we are going to get from the plan maintenance, we are putting back into refurbishment to refurbish those structures, and then we'll move out all those members from the lease facility into our own accommodation. We are also in negotiations with the National Treasury to fund the current shortfall in leasehold for the medium-term expenditure framework requirement. We are also investigating the funding mechanism to invest the required requirement for this replacement. And there was an instruction to the National Treasurer to support the DOD in terms of implementing that is the replacement and funding thereof. We had some discussion with recently with National Treasury. They are really out there to support us. It is just unfortunate that for us to come up and to do this, we have to get some cooperation from officials within the DPWI, within the country. Action and saving by the Defense Force Commission to increase control and management will be reinvested into the facilities. The devolution of images to repairs and maintenance and construction. In this slide, we are talking about the emergency and maintenance, construction portfolio, which we are also going to take over. What you are saying here, the current project portfolio presently lies with public works. We are going to do an assessment of the project itself in conjunction with DBSA. Having assessed the DOT, the arm of the project will be accepted by the DOT, and then this project will be transferred to the project portfolio. The projects that will be transferred that are unqualified Either way, we will cancel the project of place or redefine the scope thereof. It will depend on the priority that we put for the project. Some of these projects, we might also suspend them, reassign them to the TPW for completion that they must complete, or we will allocate some of these projects to, that is, the implementing agents that we hold an understanding with. All the qualified hidden projects will be referred back to TPW to resolve all the issues, outstanding issues. Probably, let's say they put litigation and all those things, that will be referred to them, and then they must sort those things out. And then when they are sorted out, that's when they will also transfer them to, that is, the DOD. On this slide, I'm talking to the emergency repair, the demolition thereof, the process that we have followed of the demolition of the emergency repair. As I alluded to the previous slide, we will engage DPWN to discuss the development of the growth of the portfolio itself, evaluate the need with the assistance of the implementing agent, that is DPSA that we are using. I must mention here that DPSA is an implementing agent. We see DPSA also as a force multiplier because they are people in our contract. It is stated clearly that they have to actually assist us in some of the projects that we are executing, and they have to mentor and train our professionals and assist us in cases where we have to evaluate some of the projects that are being presently executed by DPW. Having done that, we investigate the whole portfolio, what does it entail, and establish and reconfigure the DOT, that is, emergency response protocol for services and division. What am I saying here? We are setting up a response section for emergency things, which will be a multidisciplinary team that has already been trained. We have already started with the training of these people. We are going to set them up in all the regions and all the division services, whereby we are going to make sure we respond promptly to all emergency issues. The response agency that we are setting up will be composed of specialists in all specialist emergencies that are taking place here. We are talking about responding to the HVAC system, the system, the lift, and all UPS and generator, high voltage and other electrical responses. We are talking here also about plumbers. We're talking about all those people that are I must mention here also, we have already set up a call center that is liaising with DPW and the municipality. And what we are going to do further is to, having done and evaluated the portfolio itself, we know for a fact that DPW has got contracts with service providers and all those things. We are going to receive all those contracts from DPW and negotiate new contracts. Having done that, we will also make sure that we confirm the payment and procurement model for the total portfolio. This is where now the thing is. The payment model, the turnaround time, that we are also busy talking to the finance division in terms of coming up with a model whereby we are not going to have a long turnaround time in terms of paying the service provider that we be responding to, whilst we are still preparing our own capacity in terms of responding to the emergency. The evolution of maintenance and construction, we are following exactly the same process of engaging, discussing, investigating what the portfolio entails, and prioritizing all the needs with the assistance of PBSA. Here we are looking at a total facility maintenance contract, whereby which will be set up for all the hospitals that we have, admission depots, the medical depots, that are recovery centers. Remember, these facilities are very sensitive facilities. They have to be continuously maintained, and there should be a team that will be sitting on the facility itself to respond as quick as possible to any emergency that would take place. We have to actually also establish a database of credible and reputable service providers and suppliers. We know for a fact that DPW has got service providers. We are also going to look into those service providers. We are also going to look at other service providers that are not within their database. Also, in the case of the DPSA, we are saying, in as much as what DPSA has been assisting us in the capacitation and mentoring of our professionals and delivering some of our projects, we are looking also into bringing in some other institutions that will be able to set up capacity. This should not be we should not only rely on DPSA. We are also saying we are also going to take all non-programmatic contracts from DPW and all negotiate new contracts with the contractors that have been contracted to deliver all our projects. All the programmatic ones will be referred to DPW for finalization. Within the DOD, we have already actually communicated to the services that we use the enforcement of first line. Our facilities are in the state that they are today because of lack of maintenance. Now, when we enforce maintenance, that is a first line maintenance, we will be actually saving a lot of money instead of, because when the facility is not maintained, it gets deallocated, and we have to now withdraw money from the establishment of the capital portfolio budget and refurbish the facility itself. We are also investigating utilization of available contracts with the state to piggyback on. What do we mean here? Some of the states and their department have got contracts with suppliers, specifically the provincial department, in terms of suppliers that can supply them with building materials, all these other issues. So we are looking at those contracts that they have so that we can keep on to their contracts, utilize them, to speed up the procurement process from our side in order to deliver facilities that are in a good state. We also say here we are going to confirm the payment and procurement model also. We are also in the process in our new structure that that we are looking at. We are looking at having our own procurement system with professionals that will be handling all the procurement issues. This is a summary of the timeline for the resolution. I must mention here the target date. There is an error on the here where there is 22, April 22, it should be 23. Where the 23 here on the list holds, it should be April on the February 8th, from 1st April 2024. As it is showing, here we are talking about blind maintenance. We are saying definitely from 1st April 2023, we are taking over all the rates and day-to-day maintenance. The emergency, it is ongoing. Emergency research, as I've alluded in the previous, previous slide, it is ongoing, but we are saying here on the fourth quarter of 2023, that is the final taking over of the portfolio. The new portfolio, the establishment also. Please take note of the date that the date because a mistaken typing error of the date that April 2022. About the staffing, the capacity building. In the field environment, we both technicians and technical people within the DOT presently. We have already identified and these people that we are having, we have already placed them on projects that are running presently. And these people are mentored by EPSA professionals. That is, they got reputable companies that are there at this point. We have placed three quantity surveyors and two civil engineers that are technicians. They are not yet, they don't have a PR behind their name. Now, what is going to the mentoring is going to take place. We are also recruited people from the reserve force that are qualified. We have called them up. We are looking in case actually when, let me not say in case, when our structure is approved, we are going to capacitate place professional people in our structure. We are looking at also recruiting already qualified technical people from the universities and technical. This exercise, we are busy with this exercise with our HR, that is the Office of Chief HR. They are very, very supportive. There's a budget that has been put aside for that, for the compensation of our members. And we are also looking at also the specialized support capacity and capability. Because of we are going to deal with complicated the project, whereby we are going to be starting of the ICT support that will be spread out throughout the region, staffing and training of construction, quality control and building inspectors. We already have trained building inspectors. We are also in the process of negotiating, that is the Chief HR and NHDRC. There is a program that is running, that is being run by NHDRC. We are in the actually presently we have been drafting a memorandum of agreement between ourselves and NHDRC. Our legal team is still going through that memorandum of agreement whereby our people are going to be placed in projects that are run by EPSA. We are going to recruit people from, that is, the communities and from the universities to be part and parcel of that project. Those who are qualifying as construction quality control specialists and building inspectors, we are going to absorb them within our structure. We are also looking at staffing of facility and construction legal people. This staffing of legal people, they are the ones that are going to be actually looking in all the contracts that we are actually getting into with the contractor that is in the built environment. I must mention here, within the deal, the Defense West Commission, the legal advisor that we have already sent him to do some courses that are based on construction law and all those things, so that we'll be able to, whenever we are drafting a contract and all those things, we are always in the right for we are also looking at staffing and training of construction supply chain managers, which will be sitting in our procurement section. We want to make sure that when we take over from CTW, we don't create more problems for ourselves. We want to make sure whatever we are executing, we execute it in an effective manner. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General. Colleagues, so this is a presentation. Now I will invite comments from the colleagues. I see the head of Mr. Marais. Mr. Marais.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General and Secretary, for the presentation. Much appreciated. My first point is the presentation that Brian sent us did not include the last two slides. Will we be able to get a copy of the latest presentations so that we can just for completeness, because I must admit you have addressed some of my issues that I have noted down on those two pages. My first matter is something that I have read that Minister De Lille as mentioned the other day to a committee in Parliament with regards to the border fence, where she said that they are going to erect a fence on all the borders, the 3,000 plus kilometers. However, they are waiting for the Department of Defense to communicate the specs, the specifications. Is that your responsibility?
Sorry to interrupt. I think we lost the Honorable Marais.
Can you see me or hear me?
The system kicked me out for a few seconds. You wanted to say something?
She said that they couldn't see or hear me for a moment.
Yes, I wanted to interrupt you, Mr. Marais. I thought the problem was on my side before the system kicked me out. Yes, please, can you go back?
Okay, my apologies for that. My first point was just on the presentation. This presentation has two extra pages. So my first question was whether we can get the latest one, because the one that Brian sent us on WhatsApp did not include the last two pages. That's the first one. The second point was on the border fence, where Minister De Lille report to a committee, I think it was last week, that they're going to erect a new border fence. However, they are still waiting for Department of Defense to communicate the specifications for the border fence. So I'm not quite sure whether it is your responsibility or whether, General, whether you can respond or whether SECDEF can respond to that one. Then the other one I want to ask is specifically with regards to first line maintenance. Does that imply that the ordinary basis and the officer commanding of all the bases will be responsible for that first line maintenance. In other words, grass, fences of bases, things like that. Or whose responsibility will that be? We know that that was, you know, between DPWI and the Defence Force, but I just want to make sure on that. Then in terms of your slide 7 and 12, where you were talking about the demolition, you have given us some time frames. I assume those are the time frames for the unqualified agreements and contracts. Is that correct? And what will be the timelines for the qualified contracts and agreements? I assume, and you can maybe just respond and correct me, I assume the REM project is a qualified agreement or a contract. So, and I think we have got a particular interest in the REM project. To have a time frame indication on that will be very, very important because, you know, we have raised our concerns about the state and the status of One Military Hospital. You have referred to the SCOA decision on slide 8. Is that a binding decision or was that a recommendation? But I'm not quite sure whether a committee like SCOA can make a binding decision that others must comply with necessarily. Then on the DBSA's involvement, I see DBSA will be involved quite a lot. What will be the agreement with DBSA, and what will be the cost of that of DBSA? If you can give us an indication of the of the, you know, involvement, and whether those skills will also be acquired by the department, and that we can have a fully functioning independent division. Now, all of this indicates the staffing. And you remember, you've mentioned in the last two slides quite a lot about staffing. My question is on funding, because we have already got a problem with cost of employees, and we are already at 70% plus of the budget. How will that be done, and will National Treasury provide additional funding, even if it's ring-fence funding, for this specific takeover of responsibilities and tasks? For the moment, thank you very much, Chair. That's all.
Thank you very much, Thabo Mutle, honorable member. Behind us up.
Yeah, good morning, Chair, and honorable members on the platform. I am a bit concerned about the presentation, Chair. The reason why I'm saying that, Chair, if you recall, I think it was the 10th of April, if my memory serves me well, the presentation that was made the reference to transfer the approach with the available resource, where they indicated that internally they've got the capacity of a pre-built environment professional as much as well as partial qualified members, who they said there were 7, about 1,255 artisans, and also made mention of the external implementing agent, which is DBSA in that regard, which will execute complex capital work and refurbishment projects on their behalf, execute special repairs and maintenance, provide systems and specialized resources, as well as the training of built environment professionals and project managers on their behalf. Can they take us into confidence as to, in terms of their whether it's a memorandum of understanding or agreement with the DPSA, how far are they in terms of that program? Because by now there should be some movement happening to honor that particular memorandum of understanding or agreement with the department, I mean DPSA. More or less, some of the things that they've reported have been reported in the last meeting, where they are talking, they briefed us about the staffing of DW structure that they are envisaging to speak to, which they have also alluded to in this meeting. So in terms of that particular, what do they call it, the guideline provided, how far are they, and in terms of DPSA, how far have they went to say, we need to be able to gauge that capacity in this progress registered to ensure that this becomes a success. I'm saying this, Chair, because we don't want the situation where we move away from PWI and go for options that will leave us in a worst case scenario in terms of their inability to build the necessary capacity required for them to take those responsibility and be able to effect them efficiently and timeously. Because failure to do that, this will result in money being returned to treasury. Or, as you know, we have dealt with many irregularities from the department. The money will be taken from those line items budgeted for and used for something else, which will result ultimately into irregularities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any other hand? Okay. Can I just deposit one suggestion? It's an opinion for consideration by the department. You know, I was excited when I look at, I think is your last slide, slide number 13, staffing, staffing structure. You mentioned, you know, that you recruit from universities and technical colleges or college graduates. Because before I saw it, I was thinking in my mind that in the past we had a very strong technical college sector. What made that technical college sector strong was because of two reasons. One, the people they trained were able to be placed. There was a dynamic, you know, relationship between the private sector, the industry, and the colleges. They knew exactly that those trained would find internship at, in the industries. In other words, they were training for the industries. They were meeting the requirements of the industries. Very people were in excess of what the industries that they were, those technical colleges were serving, were in excess of their needs. That's one part. And the second part is when the industries were able to recruit people and send them to the technical college sector for refinement or for training. They identify the potential and then send it to the college center for further refinement. So that relationship made those technical colleges successful. People who went through the technical college sector back then were guaranteed jobs, would find jobs because the market was needed them, it was ready to absorb them into their sector. So the market, the industry was ready to absorb the skill that was produced by the technical colleges. And that relationship has weakened. You know, what made it largely successful is because in the industry, there was a good presence, a significant presence of the state. The state was also a player in the industry as well. So, and they were able to stimulate the demand for the skill that our technical colleges was producing. With the diminishing role of the state in the industry, it left this thing entirely to the private sector to drive it. And for some reason, the private sector, you know, I don't know whether they lost interest in the whole thing, but that contribution that the industry was doing to, in partnership with the technical colleges weakened in the process. When you made this presentation, I saw a rekindling of that or rejuvenation of that partnership between the industry, in other words, between the department in this case, and insofar as this program of yours is concerned, and the TVET, they are now no longer called what you call technical colleges, they are TVET colleges, as it were. So whereby you would identify people, and be it from the reserves or from wherever that you want, you know, trained, send them to these TVETs, and the TVETs on the other hand would be able to place their interns with you, you know, for on the job training. So I foresee this carrying that hope and fulfilling that need that is as we've lost it, you know, that as a state. So in that way, you can also serve another can serve another option. I'm happy that General Nis is also here. It will also serve another a function whereby you know, the Defense Force is also able to recruit now, as part of this rejuvenation program, recruit from these graduates. Now, you came in as an artisan, but we've turned you into a soldier, you know, because as part of them working in that environment, they will, in a way, be introduced to the culture in the Defense Force, and to a point where some of them may even, you know, want to be enlisted as soldiers. I mean, if you are a Catholic, for all those who are Catholic members here, church members, they will know that most priests are recruited from altar servants. I see these as altar servants for the defense force. That's what I'm depositing. I want to set them to think hard on this, and just to check if we cannot use this to stimulate that program that was there and very beneficial, and also extend it to DPSA and say, for as long as you have a partnership with us, we want you to expand on this particular program. I want to leave it at that. I'm sorry to have taken too long. I got excited by these last two slides of your presentation. Thank you so much. That will be my only contribution. Let me recognize the DM. DM had some challenges joining within the 2 minutes of our starting time, but I'm happy that he was able to join the meeting. DM, good morning.
Honorable Chair and members, good morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You then have your concluding remarks after they've responded, DM. Over to you, SECDEF and the team.
Thank you, Chairperson. Director of Facilities.
If I may go, General Ndlovu, then I'll leave some of the questions for you.
Thank you, Sokdev. You may come in.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me just take the questions in the order in which they were presented. I would start with the issues that have been raised by Honorable Mare. I think the first line of maintenance as to whether the OCs will take responsibility for that, I'll leave it to General Ndlovu and the team to respond on that. But I wanted to come in on the matter of the borderline fence. Chair, I think that I have written to the DG of Public Works. And the reason why I was writing to the DG of Public Works was that because what is Public Works normally wants to do, they want to engage defense separately, they engage the police differently, separately, they engage the border management authority separately. Now, all these factors, they sit in the justice cluster. And we have said to them, please bring this matter of borderline management to the cluster. Because also when we look at it as a team, then it is clearly defined as to who is going to play what role. For instance, people will say that, what is the difference from the border guards that BMA has developed as opposed to what the soldiers are going to do? And this provides us that platform where we are able to thrash out all those issues. Secondly, Chair, we are all alive to the fact that financial resources are scarce. So the more we work as a team and are moving away from the silos, then we are able to stretch our back a few to get more out of it. So the response that I did get from the DG of DPW was that they will bring the matter to the JCPS cluster. And I think then when they bring the matter there, what we can commit to is then to say to the portfolio committee, where are we? What did we agree with? Because even you would recall, Chair, if I may stretch this a little bit, last time there was that fence that was done to cover an area of 40 kilometers. And we actually appeared before the current chief was our chief of joint ops. And we had nothing to do with it, but the chair of SCOP was saying, but defense, we are calling you because you would have commissioned this, you would have put money into it, you would have given the specs for it. I am happy with the product that is there. And from the defense side, I got commitment from the former chief and the CJ at the time to say, look, we have not given them specs, we have never commissioned it, nor did we give them money to do that. So this gives us the platform to be able to do that, so that then all of us, when we go there, it is clearly defined what it is that we need to do. Then I think there was also the issues that were mentioned on unqualified agreements and qualified agreements. Remember, Chair, when the issue raised by Honorable Meray on the REM, that issue right now, as we deal with it, is with the Hawks. We have sent everything, lock, stock, and barrel, including the company that was seeded to DOD to us. So it is following that process. So the one that we are talking about is that's why we say that a team is critical so that as we work on this devolution, we don't actually accept what issues that are problematic. We deal with issues that need to be sorted out, whether qualified or unqualified. That's why we were saying that audit becomes very critical. When things are ceded to us, we must know what it is that is being ceded to us. The decision of SCOA, it was in a decision of a SCOA meeting that took place in 2018. And I think at the time, the minister in public works was Minister Ngesi, if my memory serves me well. And they were guided by what the Giama Act says and what the Defense Act says in terms of the powers that it gives to the Minister of Defense in terms of the ownership of that infrastructure. And it was then agreed to say that they are recommending that that devolution should start, and hence the process of the devolution started, and that's why some of these activities have been devolved to defense. But as we said, it is a journey, it is not a once-off, because precisely we want to make sure that when we take all this infrastructure, we are able to deal with it. Now, Chair, on the issue of the DBSA, when I came in, DBSA had gone through an approval process to National Treasury. And part of the agreement that the department had entered into with DBSA is that we would identify people from a professional point of view that will understudy the team that will be coming on board with DBSA, the intention being to assist us to build our own capacity. But I think, Chair, we would be naive to think that we can only rely on DBSA, because then if we are only going to rely on one company, it is going to take us forever. So that's why is that when we look at the issues of the portfolio we're talking about, it is massive. I don't think that we will even be able to do that only with one company. That's why we are saying that where we don't have the capacity, let's appoint credible companies with a good track record that will help us with building that capacity. And that is what we want to do. And I think we are also alive to the fact that because then it is a journey to build this capacity, where we are not able to build that, let's get these reputable companies that will do a good job, because really, at the end of the day, we don't want to see ourselves worse off than what we are currently at this point in time. So, that is, but remember that DBSA, we have not used them since the seventh floor. Because remember when the REM came up, the company that was ceded to us, yes, there was an agreement even at the COD level to say we needed to do the first floor, the theater, the pharmacy, and the emergency. But there was the issue of Dectura, and that's why we referred it to our legal section to say that with us now having handed over everything to the Hawks, where does that put us? So that is what I wanted to deal with. Chair, there is I think I like the point that you are making. We need to also keep our options. Right now, from a rejuvenation point of view as an organization, we do it once every 2 years. Now, when we do that rejuvenation, we must also be targeting and saying, let's take also where we need the skills to be built. Because then once we take them, then there is money that is set aside for them to do so. You would recall not so long ago, we were talking about asset management, and we said that we are already engaging the CETAs, and the CETAs were even ready to give us the people, and that we would not have to pay for anything, we'll get from them. So I think that the department remains open to say what are other avenues that can help us build this capacity, so that then we are not only fixated in one way of dealing with that. So I think that you've thrown an idea there. Let us investigate it. Let's see what is possible. and maybe if there is a need, we will also engage with yourself. And then also the issue of the TVET colleges, we will have to investigate that. So I don't think that it is a bad idea. It is good. The wider we spread our net, the better it is. We then increase our catchment area. So in terms of our MOU, yes, you see, Ted, the issue is that DBSA was agreeable to assist us with capacity building, but I think either you or Honorable Mare, or is it Honorable Mutla, you were raising the issue to say that we have a challenge as a department where we have one over expenditure area, which is the compensation of employees. And yes, we have that on the other end, where we need specialized skills, that we will. How do we balance that? At this point in time, truly, I think the rejuvenation route is the only route that we have to actually look at that rejuvenation. I was actually very happy because even before we started the portfolio committee this meeting, I received a call from the DG of Monitoring and Evaluation, where he says that Cabinet has taken a decision to say that the security cluster, we need to come back to them with all our capacity needs from an HR point of view. So tomorrow, actually, we have a DG meeting of a JCPS cluster that I will be co-chairing with the General Masemula from the police. So all of us must make an assessment, because he was then saying that Cabinet is making commitment to say that they will find money to actually help us fund, because it doesn't help to strengthen only one department within the entire cluster when we are a little chain. So that then, because whatever we do, we rely on each other. So you can't strengthen one and the rest of us are weak. So it is something that is coming to talk to us about, and then we will see how we move with that. And then he was then saying that the expectation is that we would have to go back now and then say, here are our requirements that we've received from each of the cluster departments, consolidated, this is what it is, this is the amount of money it will take, and then we will see then how we can deal with all those issues. I think, Chef, from the questions that have been asked, I've tried to cover a whole host of them, and then I'll allow General Ndlovu and the team maybe to take the ones that I was not able to respond to. Thank you, Chef.
Thank you. General Ndlovu and the team.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to acknowledge and greet the Deputy Minister. Chair, I think SecDef has answered most of the questions. Gerald Kikana, Director of Facilities, will just deal with the two remaining questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Chair. Morning, GM, and the members of the Portfolio Committee and the SecDef. On the issue that was raised by the Honorable Mare in terms of the first line maintenance, yes, the first line maintenance, it will remain the responsibility of the unit commanders. However, as a defense transformation or the logistic division, we have created an enabling course, which we call it a factotum course, or the engineering course, where the services and divisions of the unit, they can nominate their members to come and do the course that will assist them in a multi-skill first line maintenance capability, to be able to do that maintenance on their own at the unit level. The other one, that I just want to add on, the last one, where I would like to add on what the SecDef has indicated from the chairperson's remarks. I can indicate that the department, the GOD, we have already started engaging with the NHRDC to recruit members who are going to be trained as building inspectors. However, that process, our HR is taking it through to sort out the other modalities in terms of the recruitment and the agreement to have those people coming in.
So in terms of the contribution, we have already started. Since the NHRBC has indicated that there's quite a huge shortage, including at the municipality level, in terms of the building inspectors. So that is one of the capacity that we will be able to assist in terms of developing between ourselves and the NHRBC, also to the market. Thank you. Those are the two issues that I would like to address. Thank you.
Okay. Colleagues, thank you very much. I want to believe that all the questions have been answered. With that, let me then ask the DM to make...
Chairperson?
Yes, Mr. Murray.
My apologies. Yes, I share your enthusiasm about the presentation. There was just one matter that I've asked, and I know SECDEF has partially responded to that, and maybe they don't have the information currently available. They can let us know just in terms of the cost of the Department of DBSA, whether you know, what will that cost entail us, and you know, especially in terms of creating our own capabilities. Thank you.
You
are not... can I respond to that, Chair?
Yes, do.
Yes, one, I was actually going to come in just to say that we will share the presentation as Honorable Murray had asked, that the slides that were not included in the initial presentation we said should be included. I think we will send that. But also, Chair, I was mentioning to say that DBSA, we use them for the seventh floor. Now, it is a contractual obligation we agreed to with DBSA to say that whenever you do work for us, we will give you people that will understand your people. So they are not going to charge us for those people that are going to be trained. It is part of them giving back to the department from working with us, because then it is also intended to help us build our own capacity, and it is not something that they were objecting to. The only challenge is that why we still have technicians and artisans right now is because of where we find ourselves from a compensation of an employee perspective. That's what it is. But had we been, for instance, rejuvenating on an annual basis, we would have made those people available even when the second floor was being done. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thabo, was your question on, I think your question was to was in effect saying, the last two slides of the department was not building on the previous presentation, where in terms of which they mentioned the number of artisans that they were going to draw, or they have, and so on and so forth. But were you covered by the responses?
No, that has not been adequately responded to.
Okay, but in a sense, what Honorable Mutia was saying is that the presentation in April, was it last year, created some expectations in terms of the direction that the formation was taking and the capacity that they had already established by then. But this presentation does not build on that one. So if you could just look at that, maybe in the near future, when we invite you to come back, you just take that presentation into account as well. It may be that you have reviewed the stance and resolved that, no, man, look, that's not the way to go, this is the way to go. But please indicate that, because we already have that in our accounts. And I'm raising this point because the last two slides, we will call them back again. In other words, the presentation on the last two slides, in other words, because they speak to building the capability.
to then absorb, to then take over the function. I think Thabo was even saying that the last thing we'd want to see is taking over responsibility and end up in a worse state than we were when the responsibility was performed by Public Works. That was the essence of Honorable Thabo's input. So I agree with him that we need to be assured that we are building sufficient capacity to take over incrementally, as it were, the responsibility that you are, the function that we are talking about in this meeting. And so that we don't end up in a worse state. That's what we don't want. And if anything, we've been complaining about Public Works performance, so our performance must be remarkably different from the Public Works one. So that was the essence of his presentation. Have I covered you, Thabo, well?
Yeah, you did, Chair. And as they respond to that, maybe when they come back, they must present a situation where the structure of the works formation will be able to give us a picture, integrating what they built. An ideal picture will be where you have the general responsible, the PMU section dealing with various engineering capabilities to ensure that we are going somewhere, because if we don't build those capabilities and integrate them into your current structure and rely on external people, then you are not building. You are simply moving from one entity to another entity. You are not necessarily effecting the necessary changes that we envisage. Thank you very much.
I'm happy with that. Please take note of that. But for future, and we'll call you back sometime next year early to come and do the presentation, taking into account that from the 1st of April, you'll be taking over some responsibilities. So we want you to just give us an update on how far you have prepared yourself to take over the responsibilities that you'll be taking over from the 1st of April next year.
Thank you, Chair. Point taken.
No, thank you very much. With that, I can then safely go to the DM, who will then close the discussion or the debate. Over to you, DM.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and also to thank the officials of the department as led by the Secretary for Defense for the report provided, the progress report provided to the Oversight Committee this morning on the transfer or the devolution of the infrastructure that the Department of Defense is using from the Department of Public Works to the department itself, the Department of Defense. I was going to immediately agree, Chair, that the matter we are discussing, quite evidently, we need to come back to it. My view is that it has to be entertained comprehensively by the ministry. It must go to the COD to be dealt with. And that we come back to the portfolio committee with a presentation on that. And what the chair has just proposed, I think it is very assisting in my view that we come back to this matter early next year. The reason for it from where I sit is very obvious, Honorable Members, which is that we need to provide better clarity about what is going on. Firstly, to say that the Defense Works Formation, as far back as in 2019, had presented to Parliamentary Oversight Committee a broad plan that they were going to employ in order to effect this transfer of the responsibility for infrastructure of defense from the Department of Public Works. And I have checked some of the documents around this matter and discovered that I think there is genuine institutional memory issues on the matter that may make us not to be able to make as much progress as we want to. Because what the Department of Defense had in 2019 as presented to Parliament by the Defense Works Formation is far much more structured than what has been presented today. And I can quickly indicate to the portfolio committee members what that DOD facility transfer plan involved. According to them, it was a plan that was for the short and the medium term in this process of moving the responsibility over. The first was that the plan will look at the need to complete the structure to accommodate the migration of identified infrastructure development functions. Non-complex functions were going to be devolved and taken over as soon as possible. Now, this was in 2019. But secondly, they also had anticipated that they would purchase the required information communication technology, ICTs, equipment and software in that financial year, which is needed here. And you would have picked it up in the presentation that the last two slides, actually I think it is the very last slide, where this issue about acquiring these technologies, ICTs, that this function is going to require, were being referred to, and at the time they thought that they were actually going to do it in that very same year. And they also said that they will negotiate construction material contracts for 3 years and develop a procurement strategy to procure services of built environment professionals and construction companies. And above that, the federal said there's a need to approve the structure and appoint an internal professional team as well as the rest of the required personnel. They had actually had the wisdom to appreciate that they needed to engage the Department of Public Service and Administration. Why? Because the machinery, the organization in terms of warm bodies that are to be responsible for the takeover of this function are not part of the workforce of the Department of Defense. This function sits in the Department of Public Works. So what it means is that when you migrate it, when you move it from Public Works to the Department of Defense, it's got the compensation of employees budget implication. Because you've got to build that capacity now in another department where the compensation of employees may not accommodate it. So all of these were transitional methods that were anticipated in their plan.
So we need to get clarity about those issues. And I agree that, you see, we can't talk about a plan, a transfer plan that does not talk about the executors of the different responsibilities in the course of that transfer. We are not talking about the time frames through which certain things will happen and their sequencing. And we are also not talking about the management of risks that may arise in the process of moving this responsibility from where it sits to the Department of Defense. So we need to come back for that purpose. But furthermore, this transfer, as honorable members noted, it involves taking over municipal services portfolio of all the infrastructure of the Department of Defense from the Department of Public Works. Now, in this presentation, it is not clear whether, in relation to just that one aspect of this work, of this responsibility, have we taken over fully municipal services, the municipal services portfolio from the Department of Public Works. Why? Because there are questions that or comments that are made that suggest that even in relation to this municipal services portfolio, we have not taken over everything. When that takeover happened at the beginning of the financial year 2020-2021, according to this very presentation, but after it is indicated that this transfer happened in 2020 financial year, there is still a suggestion that there may be other municipal services that may still be with the Department of Public Works. But so it is not clear that just in relation to municipal services, how far are we? In relation to, again, another aspect, the leases, the properties that are leased by the Department of Defense. It is not clear as to whether they are saying, because the issue that is raised here is that there is a shortfall in that budget of about 400 million. But whether they have taken over all the leases, or all the leases are still with the Department of Public Works, and when are those leases going to be moved over to the Department of Defense, it's also not clear. I'm just talking municipal services, the leases outside of, you know, the actual work of construction and maintenance that this transfer involves, that we need to have clarity around those issues. So I propose that the ministry must deal with this matter more comprehensively and come back to the portfolio committee with a clear picture about what the plan is, because the discussion that the oversight wanted to entertain today is, are the plans over the medium term period? What are the plans and where are we in relation to those plans? To move on and to move towards conclusion, the point raised by Honorable Mutle and Honorable Marie is very relevant. You see, Honorable Mutle makes an observation that there were details that were shared in April with the Oversight Committee in the presentation by the department in April, which details are not there in today's presentation. And those are very important details, because the details speaks to the actual building of this capacity to be responsible for infrastructure within the Department of Defense in relation to
the population of that function in all respect. It is not here. In the APEC presentation, there was an indication of what the knowledge is going to be required, in what amounts, in what areas. All of those issues were provided, but today they are not there. Honorable Member Murray is also correct to say that there has been mention of DPSA in assisting the transfer. What is that involvement? How far does it go? And what are the budgets that the department is going to be spending in utilizing the services of DPSA in assisting them to taking over this responsibility? That also is not clear, and we need to, you know, provide the, you know, clarity and proper understanding about the involvement of DPSA in this transfer of the mandate of looking after the infrastructure of the Department of Defense. I would say lastly, the issue around the fence, the border fence that the Department of Public Works puts up, and also the work on the refurbishment of One Mill Hospital. I propose that those be dealt with the way the oversight has been dealing with them, as a separate matters for discussions and accounting by the department for those projects, and not bring them into these discussions where we're talking plans in the medium term to transfer the mandate of management and maintenance of defense infrastructure, because we are talking now of a general broad intervention. And I would say that when we do so in relation to One Meal, the department must also bring here the plans of how the refurbishment at One Meal are going to be completed. I don't think it would be helpful to say, because there are issues that are referred to the Hawks, the completion of the refurbishment at One Meal is at a standstill. It's encumbered by those issues that are referred to the Hawks. In relation to the project, the Hawks are dealing with matters of a criminal nature. However, the completion of the project is a managerial responsibility, and it involves more than the criminality involved that brought that project to a halt. Of course, where it relates to removing contractors from the project, legal steps have to be taken. That one, I think, is what we all, you know, understand. But One Meal, when we talk about it, it should not be that we say, because it is with the Hawks, we can't report about it. I'll go that far in my comment, Chair and Honorable Members. But long and short, I'm agreeing that the Ministry must come back to the Portfolio Committee about the transfer of the mandate of infrastructure management of the Department of the Defense from Public Works to the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. Your comments are helpful, and it shows that we need to process the information a bit more, and in preparation for the meeting. That would be early in the new year, let me say before the end of this financial year. And two, that like Thabo, Honorable Thabo said, that the information must build on the previous information supplied to the committee, so that we see the synergy between what was there by the previous management and what is now
being persecuted by the current management, and how the two dovetail with each other. Of course, we understand that the new management may view things differently and then deviate, but those deviations need to be declared, acknowledged and declared, and so that we get a justification why now are we adopting a different course of action if there's a difference and that is recognizable in the new approach. So DM indeed would love to have a view from the ministry, of course, after having consulted the Council of the COD on the issue, and also the matter you are raising, the implications on the implication on the cost of employees, that too, when we meet, the department must then be in a position to explain in clear terms. I think Mr. Mara did raise this point, that we are already at 69-70%, or the COE is already at 69-70% of the total budget. Now, with the introduction of this service or this function, how will that impact on their budget? Whether there will be a special provision made by Treasury in view of the fact that the transfer, the function is moving from one department to this department. There's a principle that says the resources follow transfer, the resources follow function. So is this principle being applied in this regard? All of that will have to be dealt with when we meet. As I said, this last slide, in fact, not two, you are correct, this last slide must then come back because it deals with the issue of capacity. The one that must come back because it deals with the issue of capacity. That is when we meet later on. But the rest, the other operational issues, of course, would have to be fleshed out so that as we meet, you also are able to deal with the questions dealing with that one as well. So I'd like to leave it at that and thank everyone for the contribution this afternoon. I think we are making progress. Of course, our progress, the progress we're making is dependent on the pace that the DMV is moving in terms of transferring the functions to the department. Thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And the team, we thank you, all of you. You may
thank you, sir.
Anytime you want to. Thanks, sir, Secretary. We can then move
thank
on
you.
To the next item.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thanks, DM. All right. Minutes, I guess.
That's correct, sir.
How many sets?
That's all one set, sir.
Oh, okay. Please flag the minutes. Colleagues, meeting of the 9th of November. This is the attendance. Just finished the attendance. Brian, please. All right. You go to the next page, page 2. Are there any corrections, colleagues? Page 3. Page 4. And page 5. Oh. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8 and page 9. Yeah, the speed with which you produce the minute is really commendable, Brian. Thank you very much for that. Colleagues, any comment on the minutes? Do you adopt them as a true reflection of what transpired in the last meeting?
Any mover?
Chair, they are in order. This means that I move.
Honorable Tabo moves. Any seconder?
Otabo, sir, I second.
Honorable Tabo seconds. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Colleagues, that then takes us to the end of the meeting. But before the end of the meeting, Brian, is the oversight program fine? Am I supposed to approve anything?
Chair, the program was approved and the application submitted as of yesterday when I followed up with the House Chair's office. They indicated that they are just awaiting further approval with the Chief Whip's office. So that is correct, sir.
Oh, so the delay is on the in that office, eh?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And there was the issue that Mr. Marais raised about flying out, given that we the defense family has an item on the order paper on the day.
Yes, Chair. The application that we submitted with the House Chair's office, it catered for that members would then fly the morning of the Tuesday so that in the afternoon they may join and debate from the hotel.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Colleagues, I think please take note of that. Tabo, please take notes as well. All right. With that, the meeting, I think it's safe to end the meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance, colleagues.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.